good evening, everybody. Friday, TGIF, right here on Honda Voice Radio Network. Guest tonight, David Warner, going to get him after the first break. Welcome, everybody. Special co-host tonight, Becky Knighty is here in the house. Yeah, she's good to go. How's Becky?
Hey, I'm pretty good. I just said it's Friday.
Yes, it is. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. We had a long night last night. We're going to talk about that in just one second. You want to interact with us tonight? Lines are open, 877-216-2987, toll free. And like I said, we'll get David on here after the first break. We're going to talk about out-of-body experiences, astral projection. We've had David on before. You guys are just absolutely amazed. Chat room is open, hvrnc.com, upper right-hand corner. Stephanie's in there taking all your comments. She'll be feeding us tonight. We'll get those here live in the air if you guys are too chicken to call in. It's up to you. Twitter.com/hvrnc. Frank's manning the Twitter tonight, keeping you guys informed. You can put your comments on there, and we'll get them live here on the air as well. So thank God it's Friday, Becky. Welcome. What we're going to do, we're going to take that break, and we're going to get our guest, David Warner, on the line right here for the main show, Haunted Voices Radio, InvisibleLight.us. Go there now. Check it out. All kinds of great stuff. Beautiful website, Becky. Really, really nice website.
It's absolutely gorgeous. I've been sitting here looking at it.
A lot of info on it. A lot of info. Yeah. So be prepared for some educational astral projection and out-of-body experiences. We all may screw up and learn something tonight again right here on Haunted Voices Radio. And welcome back to Haunted Voices Radio right here on the Haunted Voices Radio Network. Hosting this evening, Becky Knighty and myself are going to take you through our guest this evening once again. Returning guest, David Warner, www.invisiblelight.us. InvisibleLight.us. Outstanding website.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Kudos on that. Mm-hmm. Big time. And tonight we're going to talk about out-of-body experiences, astral projection. A lot of you don't understand what that is. David's going to take you through step by step. If anyone knows about it, it's Mr. David Warner. Trust me on that. Now, David, welcome to the show. We've had you on here a couple times, and the archives alone have been bombed. They just love you on the show. And, you know, it's great to have you back, and we had a lot of questions coming in, you know, via email about astral projection, actually what it is, out-of-body experiences. People don't understand how you can leave the body in a life-form state. Uh-huh. And, you know, about the basics, I mean, you've actually had, you know, your experience from you know, one of your friends. That's how all this started out. And if you could just kind of take them through the basics, kind of introduce yourself and how you got started in astral projection and out-of-body experiences.
Okay. First of all, thank you for welcoming me back to your show.
Oh, absolutely.
It's definitely an honor, and I really enjoy being able to communicate and share my information and my experience and my story, and thank you for having me back.
It's great to have you back. Thank you for coming.
Yep. Really, to kind of get to the whole gist of it and where it started, it was back in 1987. I was staying over at a friend's house, and at the time, I had nothing or no idea what, you know, astral projection, out-of-body experiences were. I mean, the only thing that I really knew that was kind of out there was near-death experiences. And how it all transpired is, at the time, I was at my friend's house. We were playing guitar, you know, writing some songs, you know, jamming and everything. And then later in that evening, I kept on playing, you know, kept practicing, and my friend decided to change vehicle to reading. And the book that he was reading at the time, really it interested me more than anything was the book cover. And the book cover was a woman laying down, and she was clothed, and you could see like a phantom image of her rising above her body.
Mm-hmm.
And what caught my attention of the phantom image was the woman was naked. And you could see her breast all the way down, and I'm like thinking, like, what are you reading? And that's what caught my attention. That's the whole meaning of astral projection. So, you know, my friend Matt, who lived in Detroit at the time that I was, you know, staying over his house, he explained to me, this is not what you think it is. It has nothing to do with, you know, pornographic or what I'm reading. It deals with out-of-body experiences, astral projection, which is commonly known today as. And as he went into detail of what he experienced when he was younger, because I think he started like around 15, 16, where he became conscious of it. And him and I, we've been hanging out together for, you know, 4 or 5 years through high school, and he had never, ever mentioned, you know, out-of-body experiences, anything of this sort. And here we are. This is when I was about maybe 19, maybe 20, back in 1987. And when I was at his house and he started going into detail about astral projection, you know, we are able to shift our consciousness, our level of awareness, and bring it to a higher spiritual body, which is commonly known as the astral body. It could be known as the soul. It could be known as the etheric body. It could be known as the spirit body. Whatever your flavor of choice is, I just use spirit body. Just makes it easier.
Yeah, that's a good way to
explain. In common terms, it's more known as astral body. So basically, what he explained to me about the mechanics of the out-of-body experience, you can access it through a dream vehicle and being able to project into that body and become conscious and aware, or you can do it by a trance state. And the trance state is basically how you access it, and how I've been able to achieve this level of success is by mind awake, body asleep. And what I mean by that is that your physical body is asleep, but as you're drifting into this trance state, now this is the state between awake and falling asleep. Your body is asleep, but it's still on that edge of between of awake and asleep. And if you can recognize that and execute a technique, a method of leaving the body, still becoming conscious as you sail into that trance state, and then being able to manipulate it and be passive and relaxed, and then, you know, gain energy and to be able to make a clean separation. And what I mean by that method of technique, it can be as simple as just rolling out of your body and onto the floor. It could be like, you know, scrunching up into like a little ball or like a log on the water and spinning real fast, and then just projecting yourself outward into the astral. Or it could be as simple as saying, this is what I'm going to visualize, this is what I'm going to feel, and this is where I want to travel to. And then you can actually project that way. My method, my flavor, and my successor to being able to execute the out-of-body experience, to be able to separate, is I feel myself as like I'm on the top of the water, you know, level, floating, like a log. And then I imagine myself churning at incredible amount of speed, of circling, at incredible speed. And as I'm doing this, I'm deepening my level of awareness and consciousness into that trance state and securing myself. So that way I won't physically wake up, or I won't fall asleep.
Is that a dangerous type situation?
Sleep, or in that trance state, building that up, then I feel energy flowing through me from head to toe. And I'm vibrating at a high level. And all this energy is kind of like the, if I was trying to explain it to you, if somebody's doing this for the first time, it can be very, very scary, because you're literally, you are being zapped with energy, like electricity, feeling like you're almost being stunned by a stun gun. It was like, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 volts of electricity running through you. That's what it feels like.
Ouch.
And it can be very painful. And yes, I've been through those phases where it's like, I'm freaking out, I'm in the state, I'm trying to get out, I'm cataleptic, I'm paralyzed, and I'm screaming, and I'm, you know. But as you progress in this, and as you learn about the state, and you become more comfortable and relaxed, and realize, this is just something that is just energy flowing through you. It's like you are tapping into a radio frequency, and that's what it is. Your consciousness is exiting the body, and it's tapping into a radio frequency on the dial to connect. That's all it is, and that energy, you are connecting. That vibration, that energy is flowing through you, and you're making that shift from the physical and into the spirit body. And as you make that shift, for personally, there's about maybe 5 to maybe 7 seconds where there might be a little blackness. And then from there, as I open my eyes, then I start tuning into the astral, and then I can start seeing a lot clearer. And as I make that successful projection and exit, you know, the physical into the spiritual body, then I enter that world, that level, consciousness, dimension, whatever you want to call it, and then I set out for the goal or the objective that I had reprogrammed myself for that I wanted to achieve, you know, back in the physical, and then I'll execute whatever I can do with the limited time and energy that I have to do, to go into, and to move, to execute, to reach my goal, objective, however you want to call it, and try to keep on. I try on air a lot of times of trying to reach my my dream, my goal, my, you know, my, it's my prime mover that gets me out there. It's having that goal, that desire, that passion to project yourself out into the astral. And so really, with all those variables that mix, that's what has really helped me, and that's how the out-of-body experience occurs personally for me. Now, I have separated the out-of-body experience into three categories, how one can access it. And one is through a dream, where you are dreaming and you become aware of the surroundings around you. And a lot of people could say, well, you're just becoming lucid in a dream. Well, there's differences between a dream and an out-of-body experience and becoming full or conscious. And as you become conscious in that out-of-body experience and projecting into that spirit body, you'll find yourself about 9 out of 10 times that you are already out. Literally, when we fall asleep, we already make that shift into that body. It's just becoming aware, breaking out of that little dream bubble, and then, you know, executing whatever you want to achieve in that experience.
Now, I mean, that really sounds like a horrifying experience. I mean, if you're just starting out, you know, like you were, I mean, you actually feel physical pain, and you get like in a state. You know, if for anybody that's wanting to try this out there, you know, would you recommend that they obviously take some extensive training and you know reading on this, because can you get stuck in between those two planes like that and possibly not come back or come back in some kind of comatose state, anything of that nature? Is that anything like that been documented?
Well, you know, I've been doing this for over 20-plus years, and I've had over thousands of experiences. And, you know, when I first started out, and when I was, you know, when my friend was explaining to me about the vibrations and the energy and chakras and all that, you know, I didn't really believe him, because my first experience, I didn't feel anything like that. It wasn't until about maybe, you know, 10 experiences in that, you know, here he is telling me about these experiences with vibrations, and, you know, within the 10th one or so, I started to experience it. And the first time I experienced it, I was just literally, like, shaking like a leaf, and I'm, like, trying to get back everything. You know, I'm clicking my magic ruby flippers, saying, no place like home, God, help me, everything, you know.
Wow.
I'll do a lot better in the physical world, just get me back. And you know, I always return, no matter what. As scary as it seems, as the vibrations are, I mean, I've been through, you know, one extreme to the other, and there's been times, and excuse my language, yeah, it feels literally like you're going through hell. But I have learned to be able to realize it is just energy. And as scary as it may seem, we really create a lot of that fear that we have to face and fight. And I have found out through so many, you know, failed experiences by trial and error that I always come back. You know, it might not be a pleasant execution of, you know, the experience and trying to leave the body, but there's always something to learn from it. And there is no physical danger that I have done to myself by doing this. Otherwise, I would not be doing that by any imagination. I would just leave it alone. But, you know, I have found by, you know, prayer, by, you know, following, you know, the good in you to help others. And when you do project, project for a positive reason, not for a selfish reason, like you think you have some unknown power, like some mystical power, or you're going to try to destroy the world, or you're going to try to go into your neighbor's house, you know, that type of stuff. Or maybe, you know, go into the girls' locker room. Okay. Let me rephrase that. Okay? Oops. Just the left, ignore that, strike it. No, I'm kidding with you. But no, seriously, you want to do it for good. You want to become more knowledgeable about the other side. Bring it to the physical side and tell others that, yes, life after death, physical death, does exist. And it's not meant to be taken lightly. And it's a very beautiful world out there, and it's just absolutely amazing what, you know, what we call God, if it's Allah, if it's Buddha, if it's the great spirit ego, the creator who's done this on both sides. I mean, physical world is very beautiful, and the other side is just absolutely paradise, and it's just incredible, and some of the things that I've seen. But, you know, getting back to the whole physical harm and everything, it's like anything in life. When you start out riding a bicycle, you know, you have that danger where you're going to fall.
Right.
And you're going to hurt yourself. And you get up on that bike and you keep riding and you keep learning and you take baby steps. It's not something that you just jump in and you're going to say, I'm going to fly to the side of to the universe. Maybe some do and maybe some don't. But I remember when I first started out, I'd say maybe the first 100 OBEs I stayed in my mom and dad's house, and that's at the time where I was living, because I felt very comfortable and I had enough to experiment with. And when I say stayed in my mom and dad's house for the first 100 experiences, I'm saying probably within a good year to 2 years that I stayed local. And after a while, I started realizing, okay, I need to start taking bigger steps because there's a bigger world out there awaiting me. And so that's where it really comes down to is, you know, educating yourself, communicating with others who are experienced or even beginners too, because we are all in the same boat. Doesn't matter if you're an experienced, you know, projectionist or if you're just starting out. We have so much that we can share as a knowledge base and to help each other, and that's what it's really about. It's not about going out there doing evil things and hurting people and witchcraft and Satanism and all that stuff. It's about really, you know, becoming who you are to help each other here to be a better person and connect with your religion, your God, and help others. And that's what I've learned in the last 20-some years, and that's what really has shined through to me to where I can share with others.
Yeah, I mean, communication would be a huge key with this. I mean, you have people, I mean, things I'm sure you've seen, some of these you want to keep personal. You know, just
mm-hmm.
and others, you know, it may be a good way to release, you know, to let that out. Just, you know, it's kind of a, you know, sense of reality. You feel it's a good way to escape that type of reality. Is it you know, relaxing for you to do this now? And also, you know, what kind of places, you know, do you tend to go to? What are some of your favorite areas to explore?
Well, normally, like, you know, the girls' locker room. I'm kidding. But seriously, I don't use it as an escape, and I use it more or less for a fact that of, you know, research for studying, you know, spiritual. And I remember in the beginning it was really curiosity, and if this was real or not. And when I had my first taste of that experience, yeah, I had it was awakening. It was a wake-up call, big time. And it was like a slap in the face, you know, a thousandfold, where, I mean, I was literally like shaking and quivering and, you know, excited, giddy about it, and just realized that, wow, this does exist. But each time I project, I keep challenging it and saying, hey, is this real or is this my brain? And as through so many years of the experiences, and I do, and I'm a big fan of tracking and statistics. And the reason why I track this is because, yes, I can say all this to you and what I've achieved for validations, for, you know, my own proof, but really having that information in front of you, you create a bigger picture. You paint the picture of, you know, that coincidence or that validation, you know, after 2-3 years of projecting and writing all and documenting all this down, you know, this is a common theme. You know, I keep seeing this over and over again, and this is my proof. And it no longer becomes just, well, you know, I had that proof or I had that validation. I've had like close to 50, 60 validation, synchronicities, coincidences in the last 3 years. And you kind of get to the point where it's like, okay, yes, you know, it's static, it's consistent, and it's not random that these things occur of what I experience. And so you start, the needle starts pointing more towards the right, to positive, and there's definitely something there. There is a wizard behind the curtain who is God, and yes, this is real. And that's what I really, really stress when people approach this, you know, from a beginner to, a, you know, somebody who's experienced, is track your information. And like you were saying, where do I go? A lot of times, you know, lately in the last 2-3 years, I try to project my consciousness into the higher level. Now, from the level that we normally exit into or enter is called a astral level, the astral plane. Mm-hmm. And that's more closely attached to physical, where it's a mirrored image of our physical world, past, present, and glimpses of the future. And at that level, desire is closer to us, that pulls us to that. And with that in hand, so what I try to achieve is I try to break away from that physical and go into more of the pure plane levels where you might be in complete 100% white light and you're connecting like universally with everything and there's just pure love. Those are some of the plane levels I try to reach. One experience going back a few years, and I call this, it was just pure beautiful. It was just absolutely loving. It was just very emotional and touching, where I was able to connect with, you know, angels.
Wow.
And I remember in the experience specifically, as I was, I mean, trying to explain it is very difficult. It was kind of like as I was moving from the physical into the higher levels, I remember seeing darkness, and I remember seeing, like, gray streaks kind of, like, in front of me, on top of me, around me. And then as I was able to shift and to become more clear into that level, then I started seeing the, you know, the forms of the angels all around me. And as these angels took me into this courtyard with marble stone, and there was a big table. I mean, like, of granite. I mean, gigantic. I mean, very authentic. I mean, just majestic and beautiful on the pillars. And as I sat down, there were two angels, one to my right and one to my left. And I'm like just looking all around me, and I decided to look up, down, just to verify things. And as in the distance, I could see like these, like a mountain. And there were like all these pine trees, and I could see like a river, like a waterfall flowing down this mountain. It was just so beautiful.
Wow.
And I could just see for miles, and as I looked upward, then I would see all this like colors of different energy just whizzing all around me, and I looked back down and I was still in the same location. Everything remained static, and I would look in the distance and I'd look up again just to verify that, you know, there was no incongruities, no, you know, weirdness, or maybe it was a dream or not. And I just kept, you know, examining, and I just like really broke down in just tears and say, this is just beautiful, this is just loving. And those are the experiences that I tried to reach. And I tell you, after I came back to that from that experience, I was just absolutely moved, touched, in tears, and just, you know, like blown completely away. And I was just like, this is just the absolute reward of paradise and being able to connect with God.
That would be a life-changing experience. I mean, what do you think about that, Becky? I mean, you're sitting there, and you get into this state of mind, and you actually leave your body and this astral, and almost literally, you know, you pretty much go as close to heaven as you can.
When you reach that state, do you ever feel like you don't want to come back, David?
You don't know, because, you know, I know where my my commitments rely. I know what I'm responsible for physically, or what I need to do here to achieve, or what I need to learn through experience, even if it's good or bad. And, you know, there's been experiences where I've been out for 20, 30, 40 minutes, you know, plus, and I, you know, I question myself. It's like, okay, you know, it is time to come back. And it's like, I don't want to go back there. You know, if I come back to the physical, I will come back. But do I want to stay there? Like, I guess you could say that would be in a way of kind of like suicide. And I don't promote that. And I have to relay this information to people who visit my site, some of the forums that I communicate with, and other people that do email me directly about these things or some of the stuff that they might be going through in their life. And I have a responsibility to, you know, my family and, you know, my friends and, you know, the community and who I, you know, report to is God. And, you know, I've always found myself, okay, if it's time to come back, you know, my energy's low, and that's it. But, you know, coming from that experience, you know, it was just definitely tough. And I tell you, when you know things are slipping away, it's just, it starts to become kind of like a big blur, like you're being pulled reverse. And it kind of like, you know, like that warp speed, like, you know, in Star Trek where you just get that type of effect.
Right.
Everything just starts, like, energy just starts pulling you backwards. And everything starts to kind of mesh away. And then you're black out for a few. And then you finally wake up. You're back in the body. So that's what it normally feels like. And that's when I can kind of tell that my energy is low or I want to return.
That is amazing. That is.
Sounds like a wonderful experience. Do you? That's the highest level. Is that what you're saying, David? The white light,
well,
or is there?
You know,
is there something further
I'm
you
sorry,
could explore?
You're kind of breaking up. I'm sorry.
Is there some further plane that you could explore, or is the white light the top plane?
You know, I've seen quite a bit of different planes and everything, and it's endless. It's absolutely endless. Of different plane levels and same subplane levels, and you know, I don't think I'll be able to reach all the planes, or you know, it's like I said, it's everything is endless. I mean, when I think I saw seen it all, it's, you know, there's always something different. I remember one experience a few years ago where I was just, and this is kind of cute in a way, I was with my dog friend, which is named Leroy Brown. He's a Scottish Terrier, and he was with me. And even though at the time I don't think it was really physically or astrally or spiritually with him, it's what I saw at the time, and I brought him with me. And we decided to take flight, and as I started going to the other plane levels, I'm seeing everything around me like diamonds, like almost like chiclets, different colors sparkling. And that's what I emerged into. And I'm just absolutely just, you know, like dumbfounded, just like, you know, pinch me, is this real? And I'm there for about a good 30 seconds to a good minute or so, and it's just absolutely beautiful and stunning. Just, it was just awesome. It was just awesome. So, I mean, it's just, it's endless.
That's something that, I don't know. It'd be hard for me to bounce back from something like that. You'd have that urge to stay, and yet, You know you have to leave. It's kind of a catch-22 situation. We're going to take a quick break here, David. And we come back here, folks. We're going to talk more with our guest, David Warner, www.invisiblelight.us, invisiblelight.us. Go there, read more information about this, and definitely pay attention, listen tonight. You know, if you are a beginner at this, just don't jump right into it. You know, it, like you said, it can cause some physical pain, things of that nature. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. Take your calls as well. Lines are going to be open, 877-216-2987, toll-free. Direct line outside the U.S. or free long-distance plans. You can call 618-421-4205. We'll put those in the chat room and on our Twitter as well, twitter.com/HBRNC. You can check there for the latest tweets. Frank's taking care of that. Stevie's taking care of the chat room, getting your comments in here. Yahoo ID, HBR_host. We'll be taking your questions, call-ins, we come back right here on the Haunted Voices Radio Network. And welcome back to Haunted Voices Radio, everyone, right here on the Haunted Voices Radio Network. Becky Knighty and myself, guest tonight, David Warner, www.invisiblelight.us, invisiblelight.us, talking about astral projection, out-of-body experience, and wow. Those of you folks just joining us, lines are open, toll-free, 877-216-2987, direct line 618-421-4205. Hey, give us a call. You got any questions for David? HVR_host, the Yahoo ID. Chat room is open there at hauntedvoices.com, upper right-hand corner. Just jump in there, register real quick. And also, you can follow the latest there on Twitter, twitter.com/HVRNC. We're just jumping all over there as well. And we're discussing astral projection, out-of-body experiences. And, you know, those of you just joining us, you know, David Warner has been on the show a couple times prior, and you guys have really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, all you newcomers that haven't heard David, you know, talk about these kind of experiences, you know, these are legitimate, and, you know, there's a safe way to do it as well. You know, we're going to talk about that and also how they compare to near-death experiences as well. So welcome back, David. Becky?
Hello. I'm back.
I'm back, too.
David left. We don't know where he went, but he's back now. That's a good. He decided to come back.
So, actually, I'm out of body. 5 minutes. I'll be back.
Do you put a little sign on around your neck that says, having out-of-body experience, I'll be back in five?
Well, I do have a shirt that's out-of-body, back in 5 minutes. So.
Oh, that's...
A little flirt for humor.
That's crazy. That's something else. And Becky, you mentioned something off-air here that's... And David's going to explain it now. Safety. Security. The whole thing about, you know, doing this and being safe doing it. You want to touch on it a little bit, David?
That was basically about my first experience and what had occurred.
Yeah. About the safety aspect of it. And
okay. Well, you know, I didn't mention something about earlier about, you know, safety is, you know, good and evil, you know, does exist. And the first thing is, you know, do it for, you know, positive, you know, for love and, you know, for research, for experimentation and, you know, don't do it for, you know, for evil thoughts or for trying to hurt other people. I mean, that's, you know, number one rule of thumb. The biggest thing that I have found is that, you know, you definitely want to keep a positive mind, and it is hard to, you know, go into the unknown and not what to expect. And it's like anything else in life. You know, the first time you experience something, you don't know what it's going to be like. But you also have to really educate yourself, you know, listen to others, you know, reading information on about out-of-body experiences and what people have done either to protect themselves, you know, praying to God or to angels, taking a positive approach to it, you know, for your objective of what you want to achieve and who, what to help out and to be better at or to become. The other ones were basically, a lot of people feel more comfortable if they have a crystal or maybe, you know, maybe have a cross with them or maybe have a Bible, whatever, you know, their safety net feels like and what they will feel secure with. I think really importantly, as I stressed, is, you know, intent of why you want to do it. If it's just for, you know, games, kicks, and, you know, pretending you know some kind of, you know, magic or whatever, or you're going to hurt somebody, then you're going to come up to those negative entities, that energy, that force, you're going to go down a dark path, and that's not something that I really advise because it does exist. You know, some people might want to say, you know, a chant, maybe an affirmation, you know, to relax themselves. You know, as I stressed earlier about those vibrations, and I didn't even realize at the time what was happening when I had the vibrations. And what was interesting is that the times that I had projected, I was at my mom and dad's home, and I'd say I was at about maybe 5-10 successful OBEs without, you know, all the vibrations and the energy that my friend Matt was telling me about. And I remember I got up one early morning, went over to my friend Matt's house. We played a game of tennis, came back to his home, showered and all that good stuff, and he was reading some book for school, for college, and I decided to take just a little nap because I was still a little drowsy, but, you know, still awake, and I'm laying on my stomach. And I remember specifically just drifting off into that trance state, and it wasn't something I was trying to do. I was just went by it. It was just casual. And I entered that state, and literally it felt like 5,000 volts of electricity attacking me at once, and I was just literally suspended. I could not move. I was in a cataleptic state, or catatonic, or whatever you want to call it, and I was fighting, and I was just screaming and crying, and I remember opening my eyes, I thought at the time it was my physical eyes, but it was actually my astral eyes. And I saw, like, everything kind of gray and dark. And I saw my friend Matt still in his position where he was on the bed reading the book. And I'm just, like, trying to scream out, you know, my friend's name, Matt. But it was kind of, like, coming out of my mouth, like,
yeah, you know, that's the silent stay. You're kind of screaming, but you don't realize you're doing it or you can't do it. Yeah, that's a scary feeling.
Yeah, and I couldn't do it, and as I finally was able to collect myself and try to gain my composure, and when I finally did come back, I woke up, I looked at my friend Matt, and at the time I explained it to him, and I told him what happened. He said he did flinch a little bit, but really nothing to really take notice. I said, did you hear me say anything like your name? He said, no. At the time, he didn't really take me serious for it, but you know, when I did experience, I knew what I experienced. And I told him, and he's like, yeah, right. And I said, no, Matt, it happened. And I'm like, why did you tell me about these vibrations? Because after that was a common occurrence, and I could have kicked his butt.
You learned the hard way.
Yes, exactly. Trial by error. Trial by experience, you could say. But for the most part, after I learned about these vibrations, you know, for the longest time, I mean, I still did it. And I would sometimes have good experiences. Sometimes I would have, you know, negative experiences. But I knew that, you know, I can't have my cake and eat it too and have everything beautiful all the time. I got to learn that, you know, to accept this type of energy of turning into that dial, that frequency, and to be able to work with that energy. And a lot of people will take their time to deal with meditation, you know, visualization with their mind, you know, with their mind's eye, you know, eyes closed. A lot of, you know, some of the authors that are out there will do stuff with, you know, energy work, you know, thinking like an example, you can close your eyes and you can feel like an energy ball in your hand. And you actually will use your, like, your third eye or just close your eyes and just imagine that energy ball. It could be like a fluorescent blue color, and you're holding it and you just, you know, push it up into the air, throw it up into the air, and it lands into your right, or to your left hand. And it's the same thing. You go back and forth. That's dealing with energy and working with energy. And that's sometimes I will do that and sometimes I won't, but that also will help to be able to control that energy that you're tapping into, make it more subtle, more relaxing. For me, you know, I learned by, you know, error, because there wasn't really a lot of material that was out there, you know, on the out-of-body experience. More of it was dealt with, like, theosophy or Buddhism or spiritualism and, you know, stuff that was written, you know, 20, 30, 50, you know, 100 years ago that, you know, never really applied to current time. So, you know, I was reading stuff like, you know, how to gain, you know, to do this with energy or to be able to manipulate it. You know, a lot was all meditation and, you know, trying to control that through that. And honestly, you know, I'm not a real big fan of meditation. Like, I've asked myself, why do I need to meditate? And I don't meditate. And I'm sure I could probably learn to be able to hone my experiences and enhance my experiences as well, sustain them longer, through meditation, but, you know, I take, you know, a different route where I kept getting zapped by energy and, you know, negative experiences. And as you keep going around and around the vicious circle, what do I need to do to get around this? So I figured, well, I know I'm going into that state, and I know those vibrations are going to start to occur. Well, if I can quickly exit the body faster before these vibrations hit me, that's a bonus, and that's what I learned throughout the time doing that. And that's what I had said earlier about pretending like you're wrapped up in a little ball, spinning around in circles, and that energy is just, you know, just hitting you. And if you can recognize it right when it's ready to hit you, you exit. So you're tricking it, you know, from hitting you or connecting to you, flowing through you, to where it's just being shocked, to where you're making a quicker exit. And that's what I learned, how to handle it. And again, there's a lot of different techniques to be able to handle energy. And I wish I knew about that stuff back then, because I would have been able to apply it better versus trying to take the quick route out, get out and stay out and not be zapped with energy.
Right. I mean, back in 1987, a lot of this was, you know, it was unheard of. There wasn't a lot of information on it. So you pretty much did trial and error.
It was more like enigma and mystical, all like theosophical, which back there in India, you know, they were really big into, you know, astral projection and, you know, other authors like Robert Monroe, he was really big into that, and, you know, he didn't really establish the Monroe Institute, and I think it was until like more like around the 80s, and,
right.
You know, it just kind of, you know, little by little through the years becomes more commonly known, and, you know, thank God for the internet, because now we have, you know, information at our fingertips, and people that are out there that are experienced or beginners, and, you know, there's boards, forums that are out there, and one of them that I, you know, frequently communicate with other people is the Astral Pulse, and that's www.astralpulse.com, and I'm a moderator there as well, and, you know, I'll jump in every now and then with discussions and share my experiences and what have you, but it's probably like the largest community on the internet, and it's a very good one. I really enjoy communicating with people through that medium. So, I mean, there's just tons of information to learn by and to educate yourself, you know, first. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those things that's like, you know, when I first did it, it was like the blind leading the blind. You know, I could only kind of rely so much on my friend Matt, you know, to give me information. I mean, reading is one thing, and I could read 1,000 books, pretend I know it, but when you really get out there and experience it,
right,
it's a totally different ballgame. And, you know, you're trying to think, here I am being, you know, shocked with all these vibrations of energy flowing through me, and all that, you know, education and what you thought that you were ready for, you know, goes out the window, and it's like, okay, I read this, but this didn't work. I read that, that didn't work. So a lot of it comes down to experience, and that's where it really comes into play. And it's good to educate yourself, don't get me wrong, but experience, that's where the meat and potatoes are.
Yeah, I mean, you helped our producer out, Stephen Wren. He was trying this out. He was a little skeptical at first, and he tried it, and it actually, you know, it scared him a little bit. And it, you know, you guided him through quite a bit, and he actually did his first a couple experiences, and he was able to do it. But he was, you know, definitely describing, just like you were, you know, the shaking, the physical pain, and that's kind of what held him back a little bit. And I don't think he's crossed that state yet to where, you know, obviously he's not as experienced as you are, where he can't just release and go and kind of skip that state. He's kind of stuck right there. So, yeah.
You know, you think it's a physical pain, but it's really not. It's
more mental.
It's a mental. And you think it's going to, you know, that, you know, pain. And you do feel it. Trust me, you do feel it. It's the mental, spiritual pain. And I don't know what's worth it. Maybe I'd rather just somebody come up to me and just punch me in the face and just, you know, deal with that type of energy. You know, not, you know, I don't want people to come up to me and just trigger a speech, but, you know,
I'm trying
to adapt to it and being calm within that storm of what's going on. And it's the same thing. It's just, you know, here you are. you're making that shift from physical into the spiritual. And, hey, you know, I tapped into that radio station. You know, I got that frequency, and here comes the energy, and that's what I'm connecting with, and there I go. And, you know, it's that bridge crossing it, and that's where that energy comes, where you just got to learn to be able to accept it and control it. And it does get better in time. It does get better. And, yeah, there's times where I still get zapped with it, and it's not pleasant, but I've learned to deal with it, and it's just become second nature. And I just do it. But when you first start off, yes, this is very, very scary. Very scary. But, again, you know, I've been out thousands and thousands of times, at least 2,000-3,000 times, and I've always successfully came back, you know, maybe a mental scar, but I've always come back safely.
That's reassuring.
And with the experience.
Yeah, because, you know, I've heard some stories, David, that, you know, they come back, but it's not fully, and, you know, they both their astral body tumbles on the floor like you were talking about, or their physical body tumbles on the floor, one of the two. They kind of get stuck in between on the return, and that really sets a lot of people back as well.
Yeah. And I remember in some experiences where I'll project, and basically the cycle will be, I'll project, I'll carry on my experience, and then I'll lose my awareness, my consciousness, and I'll be pulled back. And then I'll think I'm actually waking up, and I'm actually still on the other side. And I'm just going about, like, it's a physical thing, you know, I'm getting up and all that stuff. And then I realize, wait a minute, I'm out again, and then I'll be pulled back. And it's the same cycle. I'll go back out again, and, you know, it's like 7, 8, 10, 15 times. It's like, am I ever going to get back? And that can be very scary, too, because it's like then you start to wonder, like, okay, am I dead here? You know?
Yeah. Well, that's
you know, or, you know, that can be very scary, but it's, you know, what I've learned through that, it's just being calm and relaxing, and just eventually you will fly back into that physical body, and you will align, and you will awaken. But, you know, a lot of times people will want that to happen, and when they do have that happen, they can't come back. You know, they freak out, and, yeah, that happened to me, and it's like, okay, what do I do? Well, you know, there's a reason for this. I have the energy. Let's just experiment. Let's explore and see what I can do. And in time, you will come back because your spiritual body, it takes a lot of energy to make that shift. And you're going to get tired. That spiritual body will get tired, and you will shift back to the physical, and you will wake up. Now, trust me, you will wake up. And
that's reassuring.
You just got to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm a little bit more calm about the whole situation now, Becky.
Yes.
You know, you kind of, you think you get out there like that, and you know, you just don't know if you want to come back, you don't think you can. You know, does it feel like that's as close to death as you can get? I mean, how does that compare to a near-death experience, David? I mean, are they similar, or are they just completely different?
Well, I haven't had any near-death experiences in the last 42 years, and I hope I don't.
No.
And I'm not about to prove that theory in trying to compare the two, but, you know, I have talked to the near-death, you know, crowd, and I have a good few close friends who've had the near-death experience, who've also had out-of-body experiences after their NDE, which is near-death experience. And basically what they've told me, it's one and the same. But with a near-death experience, you're raising into a higher level. You're shooting up to the, you know, the highest. And you're, you know, you have the tunnel, the white light, the love, and it's just so much more is going on at one moment in time. And everything is just hitting you from every single angle. And I also, from what they've told me specifically, it's like that you're like in a queue, okay? Think about it, or like the level, okay? And somebody that's projecting, learning about this stuff, you know, the higher spiritual, you know, beings like angels, whatever, you know, you call them, you know, they're going to come to your aid a lot quicker because you're in a total different realm, different, you know, dimension, a different level. A different energy because you are now physically, you are, you know, dead. And you have made that path onto that other side. And from what they've explained to me, to compare it between the OBE, is that we haven't separated, you know, severed, you could say, that cord that connects us between the physical and the spiritual.
That's a good way to explain it.
We're on a lower, you know, hey, we're on a lower, like, numbering system. You know, the people that are in the E, they're up, like, you know, and, like, you know, hey, they're a number one status. We're on, like, you know, the million status, where that person's working towards, you know, trying to reach into that higher level. And I'm not saying that somebody who projects in that ritual level, but it's being at that critical point where they're at versus somebody that's casually trying to project, somebody who had died and needs that existence ASAP. And they're going to see a lot more. Now, a lot of people will say that they'll travel through the light, they see the tunnel. I've seen that through my OBEs. And they're emerged into the white light, everything. And I've seen that too. And I've been confronted by angels. And I've seen that as well. And I've seen, you know, feeling, you know, the white light, the bulb, the whole works. I've seen that as well. So, you know, you do have those comparisons. But, you know, somebody who has the NDE, they're going to go even higher and even higher and being able to connect with loved ones. Yes, I have been able to connect with loved ones. You know, my mom passed on a year and a half ago, last March 2008. And, yes, I have made contact with her. So people who've died physically, flatlined, no body, no nothing, everything gone, they connect with their loved ones as well, too. But, you know, they're at a different level. You know, they're at a different higher number of needing help right then and there versus somebody trying to reach into those higher levels. So, you know, you have a lot of commonalities of what I've been told from people who've had the NDE experience firsthand. And really, a lot of things, what they said to me with the OBE, you're struggling trying to open your eyes, dealing with that energy, and trying to stay conscious and alert and maintaining that. And people that who do die, they're there, you know, and they're 100% alert because they have made that transition. They have physically died, and they're in that spirit body, and they're going to go raise higher, and they're just going to see so much, a lot more hitting them from every single angle, everything. You know, everything from the life review to loved ones, knowing universal knowledge, you know, consciousness, you know, being with God, being confronted with the spirit, everything. Everything's going to be hitting them from left and right. So the person who is projecting, they're trying to reach into those higher levels like I expressed earlier what I'm trying to do. And it's going to take me a lot longer to reach versus somebody who's had that NDE.
It's going to take a lot of experience like that. We had a call there. You need to hang on the line a little bit. I don't want to really interrupt David whenever he's getting into this because a lot of people are learning off of this. And got to make sure all this information is on there for you, the latest. So if you want to try and call back, 877-216-2987. And we got a question here for you real quick from Jerry, David. He's asking, okay, if there is pain in this experience, why do you continue to do it, and what is it you personally get out of the experiences?
Okay, well, first of all, the pain thing, you know, a lot of it's mental, okay, mental pain. And when I had expressed earlier about the vibration, I realized, well, hey, this is a part that is going to exist no matter what. But as I stressed, over the years, I've been able to learn to control that energy, and my experiences are not painful. It was just the fact that when I first was dealing with this, and as I had talked to my friend Matt, he expressed the same thing. Yeah, at the beginning it was painful, but as I learned to learn how to control that energy and figured out how to exit earlier without getting zapped, then the experiences, you know, I was able to see and to experience and able to interact. And, you know, it's kind of like the cat, you know, curiosity kills the cat. And I really wanted to know. I was very driven and motivated. And, you know, my first experience, I didn't realize what was actually happening until I came back, and it hit me like about a minute later. And that's when I was very driven and fueled. I mean, for the first 2 months, that's all I thought I wanted to do. I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn. I just kept asking people, reading books, educating myself. And as I said, I didn't realize, you know, the first experience was going to be like, you know, just somebody hitting me in the face, you know, thousandfold, and it was just a wake-up call. And I'm not saying a physical hit, but it was just a big slap in the face to that reality, and I wanted to know about it, and I know personally for me what has brought me over the years. It has brought me closer to God, to my religion. I've also been active as a hospice volunteer, a companion to the dying, that I have learned to be able to share my experiences with people who have and are in that present state of close to death. And it does bring them reassurance that there is life after death. You know, when I was at my mom's deathbed, I told her, it's like, I'm going to visit you. You and I, we will connect. And I said, you have nothing to be afraid of. And even though I was absolutely in complete tears of her, you know, physical and her, you know, dying, but I was also know that I will be able to see her.
Yes, you know, that's
that,
right.
Was,
I mean, that's
that was something that, you know, was a drive for me to understand more about, you know, physical and spiritual rebirth, physical death, spiritual rebirth. And that was the drive. And there was just so many other things that I wanted to learn, you know, being able to fly, being able to travel out in space. Is there life out there in the, you know, stars and in our universe? Yes, I found that. I've seen it. It's absolutely
wow.
Incredible. Can I walk into a fire, and will I be burned? Yes, I've done that, and I've been burned, but, you know, I always come back. And next time I come out, I'm not scared or nothing like that. I'm immortal on the other side. Nothing can kill you because you've made that separation from the physical into the spiritual. But, you know, a lot of things, you know, might be seen as excessive. I tested it. It was experiment. It was, you know, I'm a scientist as well. I experiment with these different things that have happened to me. And I remember with one experience, and again, it was all mental. I approached this couple, and I just wanted to communicate with them, and they thought I was trying to attack them, or they didn't like me, or whatever. So they wrestled me down to the ground, and the gal pulled out a knife.
Whoa.
She's plunging it into my shoulder, and I'm just screaming out in agony, absolutely agony. And as I got my senses, came to my senses, and realized, wait a minute, you know, I'm creating this mental agony. And I got up, and I overcame them, and I confronted, you know, that fear, and I said, listen, why are you doing this to me? And they told me, well, we just wanted to be your friend. I'm like, what? And I'm like, listen,
wow.
Sure have a hell of a way to, you know, be a warm welcoming, you know, to your friendship circle here. But, you know, I asked them, I'm like, why are you doing this? And they told me they wanted to be my friend because they thought I was unique. And I said, hey, and next time, you know, save me the pain here. But it was the fear, and as I looked at my shoulder, everything was fine. It was just a mental thing. And again, we use that mental because we know what we think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as you jump off a building and you're falling off a building and you wake up at the last second.
Yeah.
So I decided to extend it further. Well,
oh.
I'm going to fall and I'm going to splat everywhere. Well, I did it. I get up. I'm fine.
I've never made it that far. Have you made it that far back?
I don't think so.
I'm immortal. You know, on that other side,
oh,
and I know I'm
wicked.
Not going to die because I'm with God, and I'm on that other side. Nothing's going to kill me.
That's definitely the ultimate assistance right there. It really is, because, I mean, having those kind of nightmares, that's what I'm going to call it, because, I mean, I fell off of buildings, and Becky, you know, you said you have, too, and when you always, bam, I've never made it, been able to make it, push
mm-hmm.
that much farther.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, you've been there and done that, literally, David. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's
and
amazing.
I'm telling you, not that I wasn't scared, but as I got up, I kind of just brushed myself off. Okay, whatever.
Wow.
You know, I faced that fear. And I'm not going to say, like, tonight, you know, I could be talking about it and I fall off the building that I won't be scared, because it's a natural physical reaction. That's what we're going to feel. And, you know, a lot of times I'll be flying and I'll just completely lose control and bam, I hit the ground. And I just get up, okay? Well, I'm just going to get up and I'm going to go again.
Just take off again.
You know, it's kind of like one of those things that's like, you know, I'm learning. It doesn't matter how many times I fall, I'm still going to get up. And it's the same thing with the physical world. Okay, I might be laid off, unemployed, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to take it. I'm going to take those punches of the physical world and I'm going to come back and I'm going to find a job and I'm going to take whatever it is. You know, maybe I was making like, you know, 100 grand a year and maybe now I'm making only 20 grand a year. It's that pride thing. You get over it and you take those punches and you're going to get back on your game and you're going to go back at it and you're going to reach that level. It's the same thing. You're always reaching levels, and that's what really I've learned from is getting back on my feet, no matter what or how ugly it is. You got to take it. You got to take those punches, and you just got to keep driving at learning through experiences, physically and spiritually. And I have learned so much, and you know I've made a lot of good friends, and I've made a lot of enemies, and you know those enemies, I wish I could just say I love you and I'm sorry. Forgive me, but that's something that I've had experience and I've had to digest and suck it up and just put on my bravest face and do better the next time. And that's why we are here. We're all here through experience. And what I really have gained from the out-of-body experience, as explaining what that first question was, is that what I feel in everything that is revolved around God is God has experienced every single thing from past, present, future, time, space, all these different levels interwoven between each other of good, bad, and just multiple, you know, levels of energy. Everybody's experiencing everything, and we are all God, and God is experiencing every single thing that is out there and unfolding continuously. Like, example, in the 70s, we didn't have computers or anything like that. So the computer age was dawned in the 80s. And then now in the 90s, you got the internet. And now 2000s, you know, we're all globally connected.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere.
It's like now you're going to have good and you're going to have bad experiences. You're going to have all types of unique, different situations that is just continuously expanding on levels that God is just experiencing. And that's what I've learned about the other side and this side. Is this, we are here for a reason. And we have a responsibility to love each other and not hurt each other. And that's what I've experienced, and that's what has been a part of me, is to share my story, to be able to help others, if it's through, you know, church, if it's through, you know, donations, or if it's through my line of work being a computer person, if it's, you know, through my website or my book that I'm working on, it's to tell people, hey, I've experienced this. It's okay. Hey, I screwed up over here. God is still going to love me no matter what. And he will not turn his back on me because they are always there, angels and God, no matter what. I can screw up 1,000,000,000,000,000 times, God is still going to love me. And that's what I've learned most importantly. And that's why I keep driving, just keep projecting. Just because you have a little energy that shocks you, but the other side of what you can see and learn and bring back to the physical, that is worth a million, you know, love right there to be able to share.
Very, very well said, David. And we're going to take our final break. We got your questions lined up. Gina's got some questions. We come back here for you, David. Some really, really good questions. And also we're going to talk about David's new upcoming book, Invisible Light, as well, to be released tentatively in 2010. That's what we're going to talk about that. It's the final break of the program. Thank you all for tuning in. Lines are going to be open as well. We're going to try and get all your calls in here. Just be a little patient when you call in, and we will get you through. 877-216-2987. HB_host@yahoo.id. Chat room's open still. HauntedVoices.com, upper right-hand corner. Listen to Haunted Voices Radio. Guest David Warner, InvisibleLight.us. Back in just a few minutes. And welcome back to Haunted Voices Radio, right here on the Haunted Voices Radio Network. Becky Knight and myself hosting this evening the main show. Guest David Warner, InvisibleLight.us. That's InvisibleLight.us. You need to check that out. It's an awesome website. Taking your questions. We got some here in the chat room that we're going to get to right off the bat. Lines are open, 877-216-2987. Direct line, international, free long distance, 618-421-4205. HB_host. You can get those to me directly. I'll get to them as soon as I can. And we're getting all this out on Twitter, twitter.com/HVRNC. And we're talking with David Warner about astral projection, out-of-body experiences, and his personal experiences. And we're just getting blown away. I mean, on-air, off-air, the show just doesn't stop, Becky.
It's fabulous.
Oh, it never stops. It never stops. You know, the important thing to think about is this. It's not a contest. It's not a race to have so many OBEs.
Right.
Because life is one experience after another, and on the other side, it's going to be the same thing. And it's never, ever, a quantity thing. It's a quality thing of learning by trial and error. And, you know, you've got to prepare to fail. Just like in physical life, if you fail, you get up, you try it again, and you try another different angle. You never, ever will arrive to perfection. You will never, ever be that status guru like know-it-all. But just because I've had so many experiences doesn't make me Mr., you know, spirituality or Mr. Guru, like I know everything, because I'm always continuously learning through trial and error. I have my own pitfalls in life. I'm not perfect by any means, but I learn from it. I rise from those ashes. I rise from the flames and try to do better the next time and learn through my trials and errors and my faults. Very important.
Yeah, it is. That is very important. And you know, like you said, nobody is perfect. I only know one man that was perfect, and they crucified him for it. Okay, that's my philosophy there. It's nobody is. You just keep getting up, like you said. And Gina's got some questions here for you. Really good questions, David. She's asking, how many dimensions do you believe that you've been to during your out of body experiences?
I don't know. I mean,
that's a lot.
Most of my experiences occur on the lower levels of the astral plane that I had mentioned earlier. But, I mean, I can't even count them. I mean, because it's like you can make so many different shifts into different dimensions in each time that you don't even realize it, that it is a dimension. So I can't really say that. But I'd say, like, in the last maybe 3 to 4 years when I started going into the higher plane level, spiritual level, I'd say I've been maybe about 10, 15, 20 times, you know, with angels, going through the tunnel, being what I would say would be like a heaven to me, that is. But I keep trying to keep working at it and trying to raise myself into those levels. I hope I answered your question on that one.
Very, very well said. Very well said. Now, this one's throwing me back. I'm really curious on this one, Becky. David, Gina wants to know, have you ever had an out-of-body experience with somebody else at the same time and seen each other during the actual out-of-body experience?
Excellent question.
And, you know, or have you even thought of that?
Yeah, I have a few friends that I'm working with right now, and that's called Partner Exploration. And it just so happens to be that I haven't been able to connect with somebody else because there's just so many variables going on, trying to do it at the same time and then trying to think and everything. I welcome it. I would like to be able to do that. Now, I have read with near-death experiences where especially one of the websites I visit, Kevin Williams is the author. He is just absolutely, hands down, awesome. And Jody Long, another near-death experience. You go to my website, I have those URL links to them. But, I mean, he has been documented, people who've had near-death experiences where they've had partnered near-death experiences and been able to verify everything, and that's just, to me, it's just awesome. I would like to be able to explore that more, be able to have a partner exploration. I guess you could say the closest I've ever been able to do would be more through a validation, a precognitive OPE. In other words, I have the experience, and then within maybe a day or maybe hours later, that experience really occurred physically. And I have find myself in that set of circumstances that occur. So, like, one example, example which was really actually kind of scary at the time. I had projected, and a lot of my experiences take place at my mom and dad's house. I'm going to be trying to be a little brief here. But what had happened as I projected, started flying, I think it was like north, east at the time, and I saw like a space shuttle, you know, the space shuttle down in Florida, like lifting off. And I'm like, well, that's kind of odd. And then I changed my direction of flight going like south. And as I changed my direction of flight, then I'm seeing like fire and I'm seeing all this metal and like a wheel, like an airplane wheel, like, airplane split in half and people running and screaming and yelling and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this? And I see one person running out, and he was a man, probably like late 40s, mustache, brown hair, everything, and everybody's just, you know, they're crying. And I'm like, this is not a cool experience. Like, why am I seeing this? And I came back. Now, what was interesting is that, to me, and I'm not saying it was interesting that what really transpired, but it was interesting of the synchronicity between the experience and days later leading up to the space shuttle launch. Well, what had happened is that the space shuttle launch was supposed to launch on like a Sunday. Well, lightning struck it and all that good stuff and they weren't going to launch. So it was postponed. Now, a few days later, so it did launch, and at that time, on that day, there was a airplane incident down in, I think it was Kentucky or whatever. And the airplane took off on a runway that wasn't supposed to take off, it was shorter. And the only person who survived was one man that I had seen exactly in that experience.
Wow.
And, I thought about it, I'm like, well, that's kind of, you know, that link, seeing the space shuttle take off on that day, and then also that occurring of that event with the airplane, you know, taking off and going up in flames, unfortunately. And the only person that made it out was, you know, the co-pilot. And, you know, everything was just absolutely, you know, burning on fire. The whole scene was just horrific. And I'm, like, thinking, why couldn't I, you know, sound the alarm, you know, something out there, you know? And I didn't put the dots together, didn't connect the dots until I read the newspaper, you know, on CNN online, and, you know, space shuttle successful, airplane, you know, crashes. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, and I've had so many experiences like that where, I mean, literally in the 5 years since I've done documentation, I mean, real hardcore documenting, I break it down to where in the last 5 years, I will document the time that I project, the experience type, if it's a dream to an OBE, or if it's just a dream, there's like some kind of, you know, symbolism or something's mentioned about out of body or whatever.
Right.
Also false awakening in the mind awake, body asleep, you know, trance state. And in the last, basically in the last 5 years now, I've captured close to 50 validations. And, you know, validating for me physically to, you know, spiritual that these, you know, are no longer just, you know, in my head imaginary, and I can just say, yeah, I had this type of experience, because we all can say that, or it's like deja vu.
Right, that's
people are having those experiences concurrently, statically, and they're not, you know, dynamic, and they keep occurring over and over in this type of format, or, you know, this happens at this time, or you see this person at that time, or you had this on videotape, and this happens the next day, blah, blah, blah. It's just incredible. One of the ones that I was able to capture on video, which was just incredible. At the time, I wasn't thinking nothing of it. I decided to have my Scottish Terrier dog, Leroy Brown, on the bed while I'm sleeping. So he's at the foot of the bed, and I had the video cameras rolling. So I had my two other Scottish Terrier dogs upstairs, Kaya and Spirit. Now, I was trying to project, and what I was trying to see is if my Scottish Terrier dog, Leroy, would take notice of anything, you know, when I would project.
Right, see something that you could.
What had happened in the experience is this. Now, I gave up. But what had happened is I did project, but it was a false awakening where I thought I was physically getting up, but I was actually out. I was tricked. And a lot of my validations and coincidences and synchronicities come through false awakening. But what had happened is I got up, and then Leroy got off the bed, and then the other two dogs joined Leroy as they're running in front of me upstairs. And I'm running after the dog, and I catch up, and I see one of the dogs go to the bathroom on the floor, on the carpet. So I'm upset, and it was basically our one young puppy at the time. Her name is Spirit. And I'm like, get out of the house, get outside. I let the dogs out. I'm looking outside. And it was in October. It was kind of like kind of dreary weather for here in Michigan, and you know, I didn't think nothing about it, so I just shut the door, let the dogs out, blah, blah, blah. And I look at the TV, because the TV was on the other side, and I'm, like, reading some notes on the table about my work schedule. And I decided to go downstairs, open up the front door, just look out, and it's still dreary, rainy, kind of like. And that's when I lost everything and came back to the physical body.
Whoa.
And I woke up, and then I played the tape back, and I noticed, within 30 seconds that I had my experience, within that time frame, my Scottish Terrier dog, Leroy, did raise his head, looked around, you know, left to right, and went back down. And the two other dogs upstairs made some noises in their crate. So I'm like thinking, well, okay, you know, maybe it's just coincidence, whatever. But I did find that very fascinating. You know, I wasn't going to sound the alarm, hey, I got my proof. So I just kind of left it as is.
Yeah, I mean,
I documented everything and just left it at, you know, that's it. So I decided to try again the next day. Same thing, everything. Now, the two dogs upstairs, they weren't behaving. They kept making noises, waking me up because they're rattling the cage. And then Leroy's, you know, kind of like, same thing, kind of not getting to sleep. And I couldn't even to put myself into the state. Well, I decided to say, hey, screw it, I'm done with this. There's a reason for this. I can't do it. You know, I've tried for a good couple hours, can't do it. So I go upstairs, and I've decided, well, I'm just going to let the dogs out, blah, blah, blah. Well, it just so happens to be that as I'm letting the dogs out, and I'm trying to play goalie with the dogs and trying to, you know, direct them to the outside, Spirit and Kaya, my other Scottish Terrier dog, Kaya, they take off running downstairs, okay? And I'm, like, running after them quickly downstairs. And as I turn the corner, what do I see on the carpet? Spirit went to the bathroom.
Wow.
And that right then and there, I was just like, oh, you know, I just, you know, the shivers, the tingles, the prickles, just shooting down my spine, just like
I would flip out.
You know, I was just absolutely blown completely away, and I didn't have time to catch up to them. I mean, and see, I mean, the dog had done it right then and there, and then I catch up to them and I see it, and I'm just like, this had happened in my false awakening, but it was upstairs, but it was downstairs. I'm like, okay. Then I take a look outside, same scenario. It's wet, it's raining, and then that's when I'm like, okay. You know, there is just so much here of documentation, evidence,
yeah.
You know, static consistency. Even though it was a day difference, it didn't matter. And that's how, you know, cold came, you know, for the validations. And that's how my experiences usually occur, you know, getting that close to validation for partner exploration. You know, I know it can happen. It's just a matter of finding that connection with that other person to be able to do it. But, you know, for validation, a lot of my experiences occur through the false awakening where I think I'm up physically, but I'm not. And I like it in a way because those are the ones that are more inspiring because I find that if you try to go gung-ho on validating this, validating that, your likelihood of success is going to be very minuscule. That's saying that I've never been able to do something like with an experiment, you know, of validating. I have been. But most of my experiences come by the act of random and not pushing it and just letting it flow through me and open to it. And I do challenge it. I always challenge these validations, these coincidences, these synchronicities. But as the data keeps building and piles up, it's very hard to ignore that something is definitely there on the other side.
That is amazing.
I mean, you were there, but yet you weren't there, but you were there. That right there is just, it's throwing me back. I don't know what to think. You know, I couldn't even imagine myself in that state waking up. I mean, that gives deja vu just a brand new meaning. I mean, I'm not even going to use that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw that out the window.
I've had a lot of experiences where I will wake up where I think I'm getting up in the physical bed. I'll be kind of like looking around and my wife will come in and then she'll look down at me, smile. And then she'll get in bed with me, and then we'll all, like, cuddle, whatever. And then, boom, I'll wake up literally, physically. And then my wife comes in. Same scene repeats, just within seconds apart. She'll look down at me. She'll get in bed with me. Same thing. I don't say nothing. And then I'm like, okay.
Oh,
I've had
geez.
So many of those experiences, like, I can't even begin to tell you. It's just absolutely incredible. And it's like, after a while, start getting to that point of realization that, yeah, there's something totally there behind the curtain. There is a wizard behind it, and it's very hard to ignore. Do I try to alter the focus to make these validations legitimate? No. I let them come to me randomly and naturally versus trying to control it and be gung-ho and all scientific and everything. I do like science. I like being able to set up experiments. I do like getting validation from here and there every now and then. But, you know, sometimes I just get to the point where it's like I'm just not even going to try. And if it happens, it happens. But, you know, for me, physically, spiritually, and proving it to myself, I've done it. I can tell you all my experiences. Sit here for months on end and years on end explaining everything in detail. But really what the experience comes down to is the person who decides to take charge and drive it and bring in that information to them. And learning about it. You know, I can preach to the choir, but experience is where it's at, and that's where you're going to learn, and that's where you're going to see it happen.
You've got to dig and dig on that. We've got just a few minutes here left in the program, David. Your new book that you're working on, Invisible Light, now this is due out September 22nd, 2010, tentatively. Now this is just going to be a biography? Is it going to be instructional, kind of a how-to in there? What all is going to be involved with the new book, David?
Well, I'm going to have, like, you know, like, it would be kind of like a, you know, there would be pop-outs, you pull the little lever, the magic castle comes out, and you know, with my humor and everything, I would love to do something like that.
Oh, the pop-outs, that was perfect.
I just have an idea. Yeah, I am a very creative person. But seriously, how I've been working on it for about a good year now and getting different energy when it hits me. And basically, it'll be like a bibliography of my life. It'll be really taking you through kind of like my childhood when I was young, kind of leading you up to where I am now. It will teach you about, you know, how I came about, the out-of-body experiences. It will teach you about like what I've done positive in my life, of what I've done absolutely negative in my life, which I can change around in a heartbeat. It will tell you about, you know, some of my addictions to like social drinking. It will teach you about what I've been able to do to rise from the ashes and flames. It will teach you about, you know, what I've been through as in regards to the other side, what I've experienced going up into like the higher levels. You know, meeting angels, spiritual beings like that. It will teach you about, you know, how I came about the out-of-body experience and, you know, how long it's taken me to achieve an out-of-body experience weekly now to where I can at least feel this a good two or three experiences every week without fail. it will teach you about, you know, statistical tracking of what's so important, which I just cannot stress enough, is just write the information down, document it, put it in an MP3, maybe handwrite it out or type it out, write your times down, that type of stuff. It would talk about, you know, near-death experiences. It would also talk about different world religions of what I've learned and what I've studied. I've studied the Quran, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism. I've studied Native Americas, the Indian religion, Christianity.
Wow.
Right now I'm studying Mormonism and Mormons. And what I found in all that is, like, yeah, we all report to that one source of God. God could be named Allah. God could be just God. It could be Yahweh or Jehovah or Great Spirit Eagle or Buddha or whatever gets you there. You know, focus on the positive. Don't focus on trying to say, hey, my religion's better than yours. Because we're all in this together, all in one big boat, and we all need to learn from each other and to understand and love each other. Just because you practice a little bit differently of your faith doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it wrong at all. Just because of the fact that I worship Christ and you worship Buddha, we all answer to the same name.
Yeah, the higher power.
There's a million different ways to connect to God. I connect to God through out-of-body experiences, and that is what has blessed me to be able to do that. And, you know, everybody has their different vehicle of connecting to God, and that's what I've learned. I'm going to stress a lot of that. I talk one of the chapters that I'm working on right now, which I'm finding kind of interesting, but it's a dark chapter, and I subtitle it basically the devil's whisper. Basically, certain things that when I was younger in my life that I thought was love. Like at a younger age, I remember being attracted to Playboy magazines and women, and seeing that as, oh wow, this must be love. But no, that wasn't. And you know, I had an addiction to it for the longest time where I realized, hey, this is not. And I found out through a first experience with a girl that I was with in college, her name was Jane, that we built up a good friendship through and a very closeness where we became together. And I learned to love that way because of heartache, break, and what it took, what a couple is, and what it took through that experience, what I went through to what I am now with my wife, because I knew that's how love was, is when a man and woman come together as friends, and they build that bridge, that closeness, not through what a woman should look like in a picture. Because, yeah, everything can be altered to make everything look perfect, but a real relationship is physical relationship, spiritual, mental, and love, and that's what I experienced in that first kiss, and what did happen, that was just absolutely like an out-of-body experience for me, because I was just trembling, the butterflies, after I kissed, and we both had that moment in time, and I threw up the whole work, everything.
Wow.
But I learned, wow. and everything, like, you know, addiction to, like, you know, social drinking, you know, I had to experience that, and, you know, I want to get people to say, hey, this is just not a guideline to project. I want people to see, hey, the real me. I'm not going to edit myself. It's going to be there black and white, and this is what I learned through trial and error and experience of who I am, what I am, and what I've been able to rise from to be successful, but also to show, hey, I'm still down there struggling in these areas as well. Just because I have a book, just because I'm an author, just because I have a website, I am still in the same boat. I'm still on the same level. I am Dave Warner, and that's who I am, the way I can open my heart and share with others.
That is perfect. Most people, Dave, I mean, the years I've talked to you, you have never forgotten where you came from, ever. You stay grounded, and that's perfect. It doesn't get any better than that.
It's a spiritual path, you know, that you, once you do start projecting, and I, you know, in the beginning, when I started projecting, I was out there, hey, I want to fly, and, go in the girls' locker room, my neighbor, do this, how many girls can I, you know.
I need a how-to video.
Connect with, but, you know, as I went through that circle, and that's another thing I talk about, desire. That's a big one, and I struggle with that all the time, desire. But as I kept, you know, doing those experiences, you know, desire experiences with women on the other side, it just kept going around in circles. My experiences were short-lived. But as I realized, I'm like, wait a minute here, I'm on a merry-go-round, I want to get off. And as I get off that merry-go-round, I start to learn about bigger and better things of breaking away from that sensual, that sexual desire, that romantic desire, and realize, hey, there's a bigger world out there than just chasing, you know, tail, or,
yeah,
you know, well, however you want to put it.
There's no other way to put it, David.
Basically, in a nutshell, there's so much more that's out there than just that, and it's just so beautiful and loving, as I told you, in those experiences, those higher experiences, you know, more than just that, than desire, because, you know, desire is everywhere, you know, physical and spiritual. There's a time for it, but there's also time to get busy and to learn and to experiment and really grow spiritually and with your religion and to share with others. And, you know, I talk a lot about that in my chapter that I'm dealing with right now, and so much, you know, that's coming out, and I'm like, I like it, but it's also telling people, like, hey, I am level-headed, I'm grounded, I've made these mistakes, and, hey, I'm not perfect. I'll never, ever be perfect, and I'm still going to screw up, but I'm still going to learn through experience.
Very, very well said. I've got one final question here, David, if you don't mind.
No problem.
This is going to be a good way to go ahead and wrap this up. Gina's asking, I really want to know what tips he has for beginners to get out of the body to the vibrational stage.
Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, really the beginning tip that I stress is ask yourself, why do you want to project? You know, that's the big thing. You know, when I asked myself 20-some years ago, why did I want to project? Well, I mean, what I do now versus 20 years ago was a little bit different, but I was very curious. I wanted to know, life, does it exist after death? I really wanted to know, and I got a lot more than I asked for. But I also educated myself by reading as many different, you know, religions, faiths, you know, anything that I could read on the material about life after death or you know, out-of-body experiences. You know, I educated myself, tried to communicate with so many people on the matter. I'd go up to people on, you know, on the street, strangers. Hey, have you ever had an out-of-body experience? A lot of people would be like, well, what are you talking about? And sometimes they would tell me, yeah, I would have a near-death or an out-of-body. You know, it's that research. You got to really research your objective of why you want to project. And the other thing was basically, you know, do it for the glory of love of God and being able to connect with God and to others here physically and spiritually, and realize that you will have experiences that are just beautiful, and then you're going to have experiences that are very ugly and dark, and realize, hey, that dark side does exist.
Yes.
But you realize you have to have it with the other, that yin-yang, no matter what, because it's an experience. Everything's experience. Really, the tips for, you know, beginners is don't try to go to the moon, you know, your first experience. Stay local.
Stay local.
you know,
I like that.
Your house or around your perimeter of your house, if you feel comfortable, realize that you're going to have good and you're going to have bad. You're going to have trial and error. Realize that you have to learn how to walk by crawling, taking those baby steps and nurturing it to where you can then just fly, you know? I'm still at those levels too. Realize after 20-some years, I still have my little barriers that I have to get over, and I still, you know, struggle with that. But no matter where you're at, it's never ever a contest. It's a spiritual path to connecting with God and helping others, and that's the focus. I would really like to explain to people is do it for good. And for a purpose.
That is just very, very well said. I mean, that you put it the exact way it should be out there. You know, people getting in this for the right. There's right and wrong reasons, and you definitely stress the right. You know, doing it the wrong way, there could be consequences, and, you know, here or there, you don't know. And it's just really, really awesome stuff. I cannot thank you enough for coming on here tonight, David.
It's been a pleasure being on your show, and I hope a lot of your listeners can, you know, resonate with me and vibrate with what my message, you know, entails and what I've stressed. You know, another thing that I was thinking about is document. You know, I do offer on my website, Invisible Life, a area called statistics. And for the last 5 years, what I've done is I broke it up between different worksheets and Excel documents. You know, the actual experiences, breaking them down between false awakenings, conscious projections, mind, awake, body, sleep, you could say, and the dream part of it. Document the times that these occur, so that way you can get a better picture of your good days and your bad days.
Exactly. You just don't do what you document.
The times that they occur that you can actually tune in on. As I said, I can tell you I can sleep for about maybe 4 hours, 5 hours. I get up few hours, still drowsy but alert, then I can go back to bed, and then my likelihood I'm going to put myself into that state and I'm going to be successful. So important. I have a column, a spreadsheet for food. And I didn't find really anything different. I didn't find that Frappuccino Venti Latte to help me project. any better than having that, you know,
Starbucks is out.
A burger from Steak and Shake. It didn't make any difference. It didn't put weight on me, but it still made no difference. Food didn't make a difference to me. Now, some people might say it differently. And if it helps you to have a hamburger or like just water or whatever, you know. But I didn't find anything different. But what I did find is the time. You know, the times the night before of how much sleep I would get. And the specific days of the week. For some reason, and I don't equate, you know, my work schedule to a Friday, Saturday, Sunday as my successor, my better days, because I work all types of different days. You know, I work weekends, I work Monday through Friday, you know, sometimes I work from like 11 a.m. till 7, sometimes I work from 5 to 1, sometimes I work 6:30 to 3 o'clock in the morning. It all varies. But I found certain days of the week my successor to projecting. The other one is energy. I'm not really big on energy work, but, you know, that's important. One of the authors that are out there that really teaches excellent principles and techniques is Robert Bruce on energy work. The other one is exercise. Now, for the last 5 years now, and I'm very proud of this, and this, again, this is something that I've learned through trial and error, is that, you know, 4 years ago, I was working on this assignment on a contract for 2 years. And at this job site, for my break, I would run. But, you know, the whole thing is, though, I wasn't losing weight because of what the foods I was eating. Now, in the last 6 months, presently, I've lost 35 pounds.
Wow.
And I went from 215, and now I'm at 180, roughly. And now I actually use that information, you know, I'm on a diet. I'm eating so much healthier than what I was before, but I also exercise. And I run. I love running. I run about 3 miles, about 3-4 times a week running on a treadmill.
Good for you.
I changed things around because I was plateauing. Now I'm on a totally different system where I'm working out 7 days, 6 days a week on this system called P90X. But it's really challenged me. But I've learned through that as well, as I was saying, through exercise, it's very important to take care of your physical body. I wish I had done that in the past, and maybe my experiences would have been longer. But I'm also trying to compare and contrast my experiences now to what I documented 5 years ago, so I can see and compare and run the statistics. But I can guarantee you my experiences are becoming more beautiful in the last 6 months, then not saying that they weren't before, but I'm getting more energy physically and losing the weight to where I want to be at. And with health, like anything, it's a state of mind, and it's going to help you mentally in the long run and to be able to have more energy to be able to project. And so that's important. So I have my spreadsheet that people can access, download, use it as their own, use it as a catalyst, or change it, whatever you want to do to help you. But again, can't stress nothing more that have that in front of you, then you can actually see that picture of where you stand versus just saying, yeah, I project, you know, I'm not too sure exactly what times, or I can project. I can tell you the days, the times, the weeks, the month of the year, because I've been doing it for so long, of how I've been able to succeed at that. You're definitely hammering it down to say, and pinpointing it, I know exactly what I'm projecting. And now that I know that I'm projecting, I can do better experiments with different groups, different universities, and say, hey, you want me to come in on your project? Well, this is where I'm at, what I can do. This is how we can now better organize it. It just makes you more well-rounded perspectively to see on paper and to be able to experience those levels and to be able to leave the body and succeed that success.
Unbelievable. I mean, all this does play a key role. I mean, you've got to be fit to do things like this. You can't just, jump into it. And, you know, energy is key, like you said, a diet, comfort food. I guess it's all a state of mind, David.
Yeah, it is. It is a state of mind. And, about 20 years ago, I was working for this company. And, for 6 months, I was just, like, losing the weight, everything, all that good stuff. And, when I graduated from high school, I was about 145. And, that was really short for me, being real thin and everything. I'm about 5'10". And, through the years in my job, I'm a computer technician. I'm a computer person. I sit on my butt all the time. And after a while, all the food, it's just going to hit you. Mm-hmm. No matter what metabolism you have, it's going to catch up. And it caught up. And I was at 250, and I wasn't happy. And over the years, it's like I kept on thinking, I'm going to do it. And, like, this last January, I don't know what snapped in me, but I'm not saying it was, handed to me in a silver platter. I had to chase it. And like anything in life, physical, spiritual, and I'll tell people how it is, it's just cut and dry, straight down the middle. It's like if you want it, you're going to chase it, and you're going to go after it, and you're going to succeed.
Right.
With out-of-body experiences, same thing with losing weight. Anybody can lose weight. They just got to want it and have that desire and passion and that goal. Got to have the goal. You got to have that drive. I set goals for myself all the time on what I want to achieve. Even though sometimes that goal might take me 6 months to do it, hey, I got time. I don't have to do it tomorrow. If I can do it tomorrow successfully, yes, I've done it. But if it takes me 6 months, I'm going to do it. Same thing with losing weight. It's a mental thing. You got to want it. And, nobody can help you say or tell you, just lose the weight. It has to click into place. It's reaching that level and wanting it for the good reasons. I'm doing it for my health, for my wife, for my family to be around longer, to tell people more about these experiences, to hold that patient's hand who's dying to say, it's okay, I love you, you will be loved, you will connect with your family members on the other side. That's what it's about. And I'm happy with where I'm at right now, and I still got such a long way farther to go. I want to lose more weight, about maybe 15, 20 more pounds. And when I still get there, getting there is awesome, but maintaining it, again, it never ends. And same thing with out-of-body experiences. It will never end until you make the physical transition from physical death to spiritual death, and then you have a whole new world unfolding in front of you, and you got more responsibilities than you've had before. And that's what it comes down to, is just documentation, helping others, loving and connecting to God, and realize you got to fail to succeed. Without failure, how are you going to succeed? You got to lose to win. And with anything else, like out-of-body experiences, dieting, especially with out-of-body experiences, you got to show up like you're training for the Olympics every single day, no matter what. You got to take that into effect. Same with dieting. You got to look at it as you're training for the Olympics every day. Or getting into a car. You know, maybe you want to be a race car driver. Maybe you want to be the best guitarist in the world. Or maybe you want to be the best computer programmer. Or maybe you want to be the best humanitarian and do all this good for the world and cause. Same thing. You got to arrive at it. You got to train for it. And you got to look at it by competing every day as if it's the Olympics.
That's a perfect way of saying it. I mean, you have to. That's inspirational. Right there. I mean, that right there just uplifted a lot of people, David. It got me, it kicked me into second gear. I needed that.
Yeah.
Do you need that, Becky?
You know.
Yes.
it's really interesting how everything just plays out together. And, you know, with all the documentation and what I've been through. And now I'm going to talk about what I've been through, you know, with the health thing. And, you know, yeah, I don't know what sparked in me, you know. I just don't know what sparked in me. And it's just, I'm glad it has. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And like anything, it's, you know, I'm having people come up to me now saying, you're losing weight. I see it. And I tell my story and they ask me. And I can tell them, well, this is where I went to. I went to menshealth.com, downloaded this diet, which is free, cut belly off. I follow it to a T now. Now, what are some of the pros that come from it? Well, I'm losing the weight, but I'm also can go into the grocery store. I know what I need, so I don't have to fumble around in all these different aisles. I don't need the
impulse shopping,
the Buffalo Hot Wings. I don't need the
I feel bad.
The, you know, the Frosty or the ice cream. This is what I need.
Damn it.
To my week.
You're making me hungry, David.
Yeah. And then, you know, with the exercise too. I mean, I'm losing the weight. So, but you know, it's like anything else with out of body experiences. You know, it will click, it will come. It's just never ending of a drive and to experience. And that's an experience that I can share with everybody.
That's just that's all around good stuff. I mean, that's just amazing, Becky. I mean, that's, wow.
David, you don't just walk the talk. You talk, but you also walk the talk, too. You don't just give out empty words and expect people to believe them.
You know, I try to live by that by every day, and you know, I just try to do better the next day, the next time. And if I fail, hey, I'm going to tell you what I failed in, and it is what it is, and I just got to learn from it. And you know, that's, like I said, the big spiritual component. That's what, you know, the other side has taught me. Is you got to fail to succeed in life, in physical life. And I know one thing, going back, you know, 20-some years ago, before I had my first out-of-body experience, I actually realized this later on down the road, is that I did kind of expect people to do things for me. And, you know, I expected mom to make my meals or, you know, do the laundry or whatever. Or my friend to start, you know, my car up in the morning or to go to the store to get this or that, or, no, I want you to do this. And I'm like, wait a minute, no, I got to do it. No, I can't push you to do it. It's like, I got to be the one that's doing this. And I realized I was so wrong, that no, you don't rely on others, you rely on yourself to do the work to make it happen.
Well,
I made it happen. And I also looked at other things, too, is like how I perceived, you know, basically, when I was younger, foolish and naive of different races, different backgrounds, different customs, different beliefs, faiths. I always look at somebody that, okay, well, yeah, they're less than fortunate. I'm driving like the $20,000 car and that person's driving the $10,000 car. So I'm better. I'm cool. I got all this money. But actuality, when it came down to it, is that person is the same as me. Just because I have a car, I have it better. No, I'm no anything different of the sort. I'm the same as the same person. But just the other day, I did this work assignment, and I was with a couple friends that I knew, and there was this one lady that, you know, she's probably like in her 50s, and, you know, she was unemployed. The other two people were unemployed, and I figured, well, yeah, she's probably just doing side work, whatever, and didn't even think nothing about her, and I kind of started going down that path of thinking, yeah, kind of negative thoughts about her, like she's unemployed and, you know, kind of judged by looks. And I realized, wait a minute, as I started communicating with her, found out she's on her second master's degree.
Whoa.
But she's way, you know, way past me. And
get her on the block.
She was a network engineer, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa, you know, here she is doing this. Excuse me. Here she's doing this work, and I'm judging her by appearance. I'm like, dude, you're going down the wrong path. Stupid, wake up. You know, back 20 years ago, I did that so much, and I realized, you know, I still do it, and I'm bad at it, but, you know, I'm still, I do always think ahead of time, like, hey, don't judge the book by the cover. Look inside and read it, and read that chapter, because there's so much to that person's soul that you can learn from. And that's what I've learned through those, you know, through the out-of-body experiences, and not take people for granted. Just because somebody's homeless doesn't mean, you know, you just clip them off and just look the other way. They have a whole story of experiences and just beauty, and where they're at, you know, help them. Go out there and help them. And ask them questions. Why, where are you at? How can I, what can I do to make your life better, to help you? Those are the things that we really, really need to ask, and not to second judge or look at somebody. And again, I thought about that when I was younger. I took it like that. I expected the world delivered to me on a plate, and now I don't. It's nice when somebody can do things for me, trust me, but I don't expect it. I go out there and I drive that car. I'm a go-getter. I make it happen, and I want it to happen, and I want to be able to share that information in my book and through my website.
Those are words to live by right there, David. Wow. What a wake-up call. We've got to cut this out. I'm only allotted so much time. And we got to get you back here, I mean, yesterday. We're already getting, people are just demanding your return here. So I'm going to be in touch with you real quick.
Okay.
Real soon on getting you back on here on the show and getting more into, you know, astral projection and out-of-body experiences, mm-hmm. You know, all this.
We've just scratched the surface.
Exactly, Becky, just scratched the surface. So I'm going to be in touch with you next week, David, if that's all right.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I would be honored and be welcomed back and to be able to share more information about my experiences and going deeper and going into different areas, because it never ends. It never ends. I mean, you and I could do like a weekly show together and it would never end.
That's an idea. That is an idea. Wow.
The David Warner and Todd Bates, you know.
You got it, yeah. That is an idea. Things like that can happen, David. We can make things like that possible. We'll go get it.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice.
It would.
And, you know, I have two other friends, too, that, you know, that I learned through their experiences, and they are very avid projectionists. And, you know, I envy them with some of their experiences and what they've been able to achieve as well. And so maybe that's something down the road that maybe they would like to get on and to be able to have like a conference.
Yeah, I'd like to have like a panel discussion, you know, with the three of you, you know.
Yeah.
Just getting it all on there and having all the different opinions and experiences out there. I think the audience would just love that.
And in it all, what's interesting is that, you know, a lot of people think, well, okay, yeah, people are probably, you know, just regular people or what have you, but, you know, there, my one friend, he works for the government, and he's like a biologist.
That's a bonus.
And my other friend, he's an attorney. He owns his own law firm. That's like, you know, totally different, you know, career people. It doesn't matter if you're a garbage man or if you're an attorney or if you're the CEO or the president of the United States. Everybody has these experiences. And it's just amazing how, you know, we work off of each other and how we've come be real good close friends and helping each other struggle through our own problems and our own desires or our own, you know, highs and our own lows, and, you know, we're always there for each other. But panel discussion, that'd be awesome, and I would definitely That'd be very cool.
That's going to happen sooner than you think. Sooner than you think. We're going to get that set up, David.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and coming on here. And I'm going to be in touch with you next week, and we're going to get this we're going to get this straightened out, and it's going to happen. We're going to make it live.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on, and you know, I enjoy being able to share my story and through my experiences and my life experiences, and when my book does come out, there's going to be so much that's going to be there. And, presented. I'm excited. It's a lot of work, I tell you. Writing a book is a lot of work.
Yes.
I'm going through that experience, too, of getting those days to where I can write maybe a page, or sometimes it's maybe a couple of words or sentences, or sometimes it's maybe a word. Okay, save. I'm done for the day.
But it's
something that, I look forward to be able to extend out to others, and be able to open up people's eyes and realize that, there's just so much that is just out there than, what we can see physically. And, it's okay to experience these things in life because this is what we go through. Even if it's the worst thing in the world that we go through, we got to experience it because that's what's going to make us stronger and how we can do better the next time. And that's, I don't really want to write just a method book, all these different methods and different experiences, of out of body. I want to show the whole perspective of me as a person to where the reader can really get to know me, who I am. They can laugh at me because there's a lot of comedy that I throw in my
book. Oh, that's going to happen.
And they can realize that, hey, I'm just this ordinary person. I want you to, the reader, to read it as if I'm your best friend. I'm sitting down next to you and saying, yeah, I went through this. Okay, I can understand that. Or you can say, yeah, I'm having a great day. I read this one part of the book, and it was just uplifting or moving. Or, maybe it's one of those situations where your mom or somebody dear to you had passed on, and I can put my arm around you and say, hey, I love you. You're going to be okay. We will get through this together. Because I've experienced it too. As much as I miss my mom, I love her very much. I've been able to connect with her on the other side. I still miss her, physically. I know she's there, and I know I'm going to connect with her later on down the road. It's just, hey, I can share that part of me with you and say, it's okay. And maybe help you be able to connect with your loved one too. So much real beautiful things that are coming out in me as, a writer and who I am creative-wise. I'm also a musician. I play classical guitar, acoustic, and electric guitar, and I do a lot of online collaborating with music. So I want to be able to show people who I am creatively, but also show people that, hey, I am just David Warner. I work a 9-to-5 job, but I also struggle to get to the top. And that top is still at the bottom and at the top. It's all around. It never ever, when you think of top, you think of high. But really, we're always at one level.
Very well said. Jeez, Becky. I'm getting kicked in the teeth here.
I just have one thing to say. I want to say thank you, David. You seem to be going on a journey, and thank you for both taking us along on your journey and teaching us how to start our own.
You're welcome, and again, like I said, I appreciate having me on your show, and it's been an honor, and definitely look forward to more sessions and online and being able to communicate with your audience and share what I've been through.
You've got it. I'm going to be in touch with you middle of next week, David. It's going to happen. We're going to get this panel discussion going with all this. Great idea.
I look forward to it, sir.
You take care and have a great weekend, David.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Wow, Becky. How do you take all that in? It's Friday, damn it. That's deep. That's deep.
I know.
That is good stuff. People, yeah. I mean, the questions and stuff, too. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say it's like the more I learn, the less I know.
Yeah. I mean, after that, you know, you feel like, just when you think you know it all, bam, no. No. It's never ending, just like you said. That's, you know, people that are listening to this, Becky, for the first time, you know, about astral projection, out-of-body experiences, I think now there's like, oh, wait, maybe it does happen. Because, you know, they get a little skittish and skeptical. I was, you know, mm-hmm. before I talked to David. And it just, he throws it at you. Because this stuff is not supposed to happen, but yet it does. And here, you know, you and I, you know, work to prove there's life after death. And he's mm-hmm. seen it. He's physically seen it.
He is challenging us to look and to try it ourselves. As
yeah.
he said, you have to experience it.
And, you know, he said, yeah, you know, it could be painful, it could be frightening, but it's all, you know, a mental image. It's not, you know, you always come back to your physical body, and it's safe if you do it safely and for the good.
It's, as he said, it's your intent. If you're intent on going and learning, you're going to learn.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way of stopping that. That's, wow. That's a lot of information. Now, we went over a little bit tonight for you folks, for Gina. You're welcome, man. Had to get that in. And we're going to have that panel discussion with him. I'm going to give him a call next week. We're going to get that set up soon. It's probably going to be the end of next month or the beginning of September. We're going to have all that scheduled. Get him back here as soon as possible. Maybe even do a weekly type situation or bi-weekly with David if his schedule permits. Becky, thank you so much for co-hosting with me tonight. It's been awesome. We're going to do this.
Thank you for allowing me to come.
Yeah, it's been great. Next week, you know, you're going to be here Tuesday, hopefully, and then Thursday, because Jason quit.
No, he didn't quit. He's just on vacation.
He's on vacation.
He didn't take us with us.
No, he didn't. No. He's stuck in Michigan. City might call in during the shows, but that'll kind of freak him out when you answer the phone. That'd be fun. So you've been listening to Haunted Voices Radio here on the Haunted Voices Radio Network. Guest, once again, David Warner, InvisibleLight.us. And keep your tabs out for his new book, Invisible Light. That's due out September 22nd, 2010. That's tentative. And David will get it done because that's one of his goals. And trust me, just like he said, it's going to happen.